Well, I don't know if you realize it or not, but once a year, our piano gets tuned. There's a professional tuner that comes, spends about an hour and a half going over everything in a very meticulous fashion, making sure that everything is just the way it's supposed to be, so that it gives off the kind of music or the kind of sound that it was designed to do. A person playing the guitar makes sure that those strings are adjusted just right as well. They make sure that they are in tune, that so that the instrument is producing just the right sound. Now, as human beings, we ought to make sure also that our hearts are in tune with the Lord. That our hearts are in tune with God. Think about it as we open the Bible today to 1 John chapter 3, where we'll be looking at verses 19 to 24. We're ready for verse 19 in 1 John chapter 3 and going on to the end of the chapter. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has given us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Now, there's a lot that we could talk about from this brief passage, but there are several things in particular that I want to zero in on and have us reflect on and think about more deeply this morning. Let's take note of these things. We are to believe on the name of Jesus, to do the things that please the Lord, and to abide in Christ. Believe on the name of Jesus, do those things that please the Lord, and abide in Christ. Let's start with that first one. Believe on the name of Jesus. Do you notice in verse 23? This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Are you a genuine believer? Are you the real deal? You know, the first person that I ever had the opportunity to baptize was a middle-aged woman who had grown up in church circles. And as she was explaining to me the rationale for requesting baptism at that point in time, she was looking back on her life. She had grown up in church circles, and she, at one point in her teen years, went along with her peers who were going through a catechism class and then were becoming a church member. But now this lady came to realize that she wasn't truly saved back then. And she asked to be baptized upon her confession of faith, that she might publicly declare her faith in Jesus, her allegiance to him. She wanted to make a statement that she was all in with Jesus being her Savior and Lord. Now, here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 13. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If a person is not saved, then their heart is not in tune with God. Getting in tune with God, one's heart in tune with God, originates with believing in Jesus. And this is more than just giving an intellectual kind of assent to something, or even agreeing that Christ was. To believe is to put one's full faith and one's full trust in the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross through his sacrificial death and through his subsequent resurrection from the dead. The Apostle John, in referring to things written in the Scripture, said, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have," what? "You may have life in his name." So John 20, verse 31. So, have you received the gift of eternal life? And I'm going to push this one out further now. Have you believed or received the gift of eternal life and are able to share with someone else how they too can be saved? How they too can have life? How they too can be in tune with God? How they too can live more abundantly? And I say live more abundantly because believing on the name of the Lord is not just a prerequisite for getting saved. It's a prerequisite for victorious Christian living. In Matthew chapter 21, we have an interesting thing recorded. Matthew 21, 18 to 22, we have an example here of Jesus referring to, using the word believing, and I'd like you to make note of that as I read this passage. He's talking to his disciples here at this point, and so he said, Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 to 22. "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.' And immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither away so soon?' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, there are many things we need to just realize from the get-go, that there are many things that we cannot do on our own. In fact, without him, we really can't do anything of any significance without the Lord. But you know what we can do? We can call upon the name that is above all names. We can call upon the Lord. We can call upon Jesus, believing that he is able. He's able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that's according to the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrection. According to Hebrews 11, verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Did you ever stop to reflect on that particular passage? Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So hearts that are in tune with God are hearts that diligently seek the Lord. We're to believe on the name of Jesus. The second thing I'd like us to focus on now and to reflect on more is that we're to do the things that please the Lord. John talked about the possibility of our hearts being such that they do not condemn us. That's comes out in verse 21. So we might say then that it's possible for our hearts to be in rhythm with God's heart. The Bible does say, for example, that David was a man after God's own heart. He was chosen or picked or selected, called forth for a unique role, and that his heart was after God's heart. Now, what is the evidence that a person has a heart that is in tune with the Lord? Well, in verse 22, John noted that one experiences answers to prayer because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Those are actually tied together. You may have heard the story of a father who told his four-year-old son to sit down. But the son didn't sit down. And so the father said the second time, "Son, I said, sit down." The boy still didn't sit down. And finally, the father took him by the shoulders and forcibly placed him in the chair. He said, "Now, son, sit there." And the little boy answered, said, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm still standing." Yeah. What is it like? What is it like for you and I? Are we responsive to the Lord? Are we quick to obey? Are we willing to mind the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Or is there sometimes, or perhaps too many times, a hesitation there? Or could even be, at times, a downright rebellious spirit. That's deep down in there. If we do a spiritual MRI, we'd find a rebellious spirit. Jesus said this in John 8:29, "He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." That's what Jesus was saying. He said he always did those things that pleased the Father. So a heart that is in tune with God does those things that please the Lord. Now, at the Christmas get-together on Diane's side, we were over in the Archbold area there Friday and Saturday for that gathering. And one of the things that happens in that gathering is that all of the adults are supposed to come with a $10 gift card, but you put it in an unmarked envelope, in a plain white envelope, and then those envelopes are all put in a basket or a box or thrown on the table or whatever, and then you take turns going around the circle or however the host family decides they're going to do it that year. Pick out an envelope. Oh, it's a gift card to, you know, Bed and Bath, or Bed Bath and Beyond, or whatever. And so the next person can pick another envelope, unless they're looking around and seeing what has already been picked out and what people have, and they can swipe that one. Actually, I didn't mind at all that my gift card to Menards got taken, because we don't have one in Boardman. And besides, I saw that... Yeah, it gave me a chance to swipe the Chick-fil-A card that Elliot had. So I did. Chick-fil-A not only has good food, that's right, they offer a senior discount. I always, when I order, I say, "Thank you for that senior discount." But the thing that tops it off, though, is not just monetary or dietary. It's that classic response. When I say thank you, for the senior discount, the response is what? "My pleasure." You've got it. You've been there, haven't you? Yeah, my pleasure. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talks about the fact how that Christians will one day be absent from the body and present with the Lord, and yet for now we're at home in the body and continue to live by faith. And then he says in verse 9, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him interesting how the MSG paraphrase renders that. It says, cheerfully pleasing the Lord is the main thing. Cheerfully pleasing the Lord is the main thing. So, in the restaurant operation, Chick-fil-A instills within their employees the matter of responding to folks with a pleasant or a cheerful, my pleasure. And in the kingdom of God, Jesus and the apostles are seeking to instill a mindset or a heart of a cheerful obedience to the one whom we serve, the Lord Jesus. Can we say to the Lord, my pleasure, when he asks something of us? In writing to the Thessalonians, Paul noted that he was praying for them. He was praying that they would increase in some things, that they would increase and abound in love, so that people's hearts might be blameless in holiness at the coming of Christ. And then this is what was said, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 and 2. Finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. How you ought to walk and please God. So, as you think about this, would you say that your heart is in tune with God? In that you are seeking to please Him in your pursuits, in your work, in your activities, in your academics, in your home, in your decisions. And if that's not the case, then this morning, why not acknowledge that to the Lord and ask Him to do a tune-up to bring your heart back into rhythm? That's the essence of what Robert Robinson was saying to the Lord in the special music this morning. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Pleasing the Lord, our heart in tune with Him. Well, believe in the name of Jesus, do the things that please the Lord. The third thing I want us to reflect on a bit more here as we consider our text is actually a recurring theme in 1 John. Hearts in tune with God abide or are abiding in Christ. Abide in Christ. Notice again verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And we would do well to recognize something really significant, something very important here, and that is that to abide in Christ is not just some lofty notion. It's not just some spiritual ideal. It's not just some theoretical concept. It's not just some theological jargon. To abide in Christ is God's intent. It's God's desire for you and I. That's what He intended all along. To abide in Christ is to live in fellowship with the Lord. And it's like Paul described it in Galatians 2:20 when he said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ living within, living by faith. Now, in our text this morning, we see some exciting realities for those who abide in Christ. One being that a person that abides in Christ has confidence toward God. This is brought out in verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. So if our hearts are in tune with the Lord, we're right with God, there is an assurance. There is an assurance. Assurance, it's an assurance that comes from knowing it is well with our soul. And we saw that when we were looking earlier in 1 John. It's in chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So it's the glorious privilege of a believer to have an assurance of eternal life. It's not just wishful thinking. Those whose hearts are in tune with God have a confidence in the promises that Jesus made. Now, what are those promises? Well, let me just cite one here in talking to his disciples. Jesus said that, yes, he was going to depart, but what was he going to do? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he said he would come again and receive them to himself. That's in John 14, verse 3. And if you and I truly know the Lord, then we can rest in that. He's preparing a place for us. He will come again to receive us unto himself, that we might be with him for all eternity. Now, this confidence toward God ties in with something else, and that is answered prayer. We already touched on that a little bit ago as we were looking at the Jesus' illustration of the fig tree and so on. But notice again verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we do keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, I'll bet if you did any kind of reflection over the past year, you had no problem thinking of answers to prayer. You probably could jot down umpteen times that you experienced God at work in significant ways. How he worked and provided and showed himself strong as you sought him. The point is that believers, those who have a heart right with the Lord, do not need to shrink back from the Lord. They can approach him freely. Hebrews 4:16 puts it like this, after pointing out that we have a great high priest who is Jesus, the Christ, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Think about that. That's talking about having, we don't come in an arrogant fashion. That isn't what that means. What it means is that we can come with assurance and with confidence unto the Lord, because we are his. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might find grace to help in our time of, or might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And sometimes we do need mercy and forgiveness as we recognize that we have fallen short of the mark. Sometimes that is our biggest need. But sometimes we need grace. We need grace to deal with a particular difficult or a particular perplexing kind of matter. Sometimes we need guidance and direction. Sometimes we have a practical need. Now, I had mentioned before how Diane and I were inspired with our narrated tour through the new rescue mission in Youngstown. How that that Sunday afternoon there were different times along the tour that there were things that were shared that were very inspirational. But I remember especially we were out in the dining room, kitchen, pantry area, whichever part of that it was, when John Muckridge was sharing about some times when, well, They were just plain running out of a particular ingredient that was needed for a meal coming up. So what do you do? Well, they were about to have a staff person go uptown to get something. But then, just as they were about to do that, someone arrived at the mission. Someone arrived at the mission with food items. And yes, there were exactly what was needed, what was missing, what was needed. And I said to John Muckeridge, I said, you know, that just sounds like Mueller and his account years ago. And John said, that's right. It does. It is. Answers to prayer. Well, this confidence toward God and these answered prayers tie in with yet another spiritual reality for those abiding in Christ, and that is to experience the work of the Holy Spirit. To experience the work of the Holy Spirit. This is brought out in verse 24. Here again, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, he in him, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. The Holy Spirit helps us to recognize spiritual realities and to understand spiritual truth. And when this takes place, it's like you've experienced it along the way, haven't you? It's like there's a light bulb on the inside that goes on. And we see things as believers. We see all sorts of things that other people don't see or don't get or don't understand because they don't have the Holy Spirit bringing enlightenment to them. And it's absolutely amazing. The Holy Spirit works in a variety of ways. And this matter of giving us an understanding of being connected to Christ really is of the utmost importance. So as Paul puts it in writing to the believers in Rome, you'd almost think that Adam had been peeking at my sermon notes here. How about that? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. If you weren't listening, that's part of what Adam was reading earlier, Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. But it's the Holy Spirit giving us that kind of witness, that kind of assurance of our standing, of who we are, of what God has for us. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So, is your heart in tune with God? If so, you are believing on the name of Jesus. You are doing the things that please the Lord, and you are abiding in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for these spiritual realities. So grateful for who you are and for what you have done and are doing in our day and in our world and in our lives, Lord. And we pray that you would continue to bless us with your word infused within us these promises and these precepts and these purposes of yours, Lord God, and just help us to lay hold of them and to understand them and to live in light of them. And we pray that your Spirit would continue to work and to move and help us to recognize your promptings and to be about your business. So bless your church, bless your people. And Lord, right now they're are a good number of people in our flock, in our congregation, that have particular needs. Some of them are health related. There may be other things and concerns and stuff going on. And we just pray that as those are brought before you, that there would be the outworking of your purposes, that we would see answers to prayer, that we would see needs being met. And so we just look to you. Please continue to establish our steps and to guide us in your way. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.